If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
It's always good to have somebody that's different than you. And some people say, oh, well, I want somebody that's like works like me and thinks like me. But you want partners that have different skill sets than you. And that is what will make you have this complementary team.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Pooja Talati has 10 years of real estate experience with a focus on marketing, strategy, and operations. At JT Capital, Pooja leads marketing and operations. Pooja, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Hey, the pleasure's all mine. You know, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on is, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Sure. So I started off actually in management consulting. I did that for about 3 years, went to grad school, did marketing there, went back to management consulting, didn't like it the second time around. My passion was really more in the marketing space, and I had an opportunity to then go work at the Hershey Company doing brand management there. Very exciting, loved the work. And then, you know, life took me on a different path, and I had my first child. We were moving to North Carolina. And while I was looking for jobs there, started speaking with my brother who was in real estate. And, you know, we'd been talking for a while. My husband and I were interested in investing. And, you know, we're at the point where, you know, I couldn't have two full-time jobs and a kid. And my brother said, well, why don't you just come work with us? We could definitely use your experience in marketing. So I said, okay, why not? Let me give this a shot and leave the corporate world and try the entrepreneurial aspect. And if I don't like it, I can always go back and say, hey, here's what I did. But many years later, I am still here. So clearly I am enjoying it. And it kind of married a lot of my skill sets with management consulting and my experience in brand management, which was really just more of just owning and running the product from beginning to end. So yeah, here I am in real estate. I focus a little bit with marketing, operations, and asset management.
Wow. Okay. So wearing a few different hats. What are some things? Let's talk a little bit. Well, I guess, what are you guys buying right now? Let's start there. So we can kind of frame what it is that you are marketing, operating, and managing.
Yep. So we buy, I work with JT Capital, and we buy multifamily complexes, specifically looking about 100 units or higher.
Okay. Great. That's awesome. How many doors do you guys have under management, or what does that look like as far as the scale goes?
Yeah. So we have probably about 2,500 doors under management.
Cool.
And we are currently in process of closing on another property next week. So it's been, as I was telling you earlier, it's been a fast and furious month and a half, but we're excited to get to the finish line.
Absolutely. I think closing on both either on the sell and the buy side are probably the highlights, I think, always. Yep. Me in real estate. I know it's fun and everybody preaches cash flow and collect the checks along the way, but there's something very gratifying about the day that you both receive and give a very large check for a piece of property. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Makes everybody happy.
Absolutely. That's loads of fun. Cool. Okay. So you guys are buying multifamily complexes. You're at 2,500 doors. Talk to us about some of the things that, I guess, as you have grown with this company, because it sounds like there really was no marketing department or marketing person necessarily on board when you came on board. Is that right?
Yeah. So I used to work at another company before, and then we transitioned and we branched off and we had worked with someone before. We gelled really well. So we formed a new company. But yeah, you know, my experience really comes in from the brand management side. And right. You know, working at a consumer products good company, they have like the training that you need, right? And they give you all of the tool sets. And from an entrepreneurial experience, there's some things that you just don't have access to. Before, I had, you know, marketing spend that was seven figures. And now my marketing budget is very, very slim. So it definitely helps you flex different muscles and things like that. But there are some things that you can definitely move those skill sets over, like what to do when you're looking for a website, you know, social media. Now, social media is changing daily. And a lot of this stuff we used to outsource. So that was something that was definitely a challenge coming here is now, okay, I have to do this all myself, or I have to figure out how to make it work within a very, very tight budget. Mm. But that was really exciting to me. Try something different and bring some of those things like we talk about brand architecture, we talk about mission statements, and while it's sometimes you're like, why do we have to go through all of that? It's a really great exercise to go through because it really helps you be more laser focused on your audience and also what you want to do and what your brand stands for.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. And that's one of those things that, you know, especially as real estate investors, that comes almost like the second or third thought. You know, the first thought is, all right, I want to go buy something. I want to start making some money, you know, owning real estate. And that, you know, that starts out that way. Of course, you can not brand and own a lot of single family residences. But once you start scaling, once you start going big, like you guys are, having a brand and having some presence and awareness as to who you are and what you do is kind of a hard thing, you know, to recraft. Are there some tips or some tricks or some tools that, you know, you would recommend people look to or some resources that maybe they could use that kind of help define some of that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it too is strat planning. So in my past life, we would do a strategy planning session every year. And it would also be like a year in review. And really just putting pen to paper, what do you want to accomplish in year one and setting goals? And these goals should be really concrete. They shouldn't be vague. It shouldn't say we want to acquire multifamily. It should say something like, I want to complete 2 deals of maybe X size in X areas. Mm-hmm. So now you're very lasered in on what you want, but it's a good thing because if you don't even know what target market you're looking for, you know, you're going to be looking all over the place and you're going to be wasting time.
Right.
And that will really just help you understand. The other thing I think in that is also building out, well, where do I want to be in 5 years? And it's okay if you change direction. You know, we've done that currently at our company just because of, hey, this didn't work. How do we pivot and do it a different way to maybe reach our goal? Or maybe what we thought we wanted isn't what we want anymore. We're going to do it a little bit differently. And doing that on a yearly basis will help because then you're also not duct taping things together. So for example, maybe you're too small right now, so you may not need to have some of these IT platforms that some of the bigger guys have. That's okay. But make sure that you're setting yourself up in a way so that maybe 2 years from now or 3 years from now, what you've done, you can easily translate it into some of these software tools or just move a little bit seamlessly. And just kind of thinking about that out loud will really help you, even just with like your target market and your audience, right? If you're looking for investors, you don't really want to just say, oh, well, we're just going to have investors. What's their age group? What's their demographic? Mm-hmm. Do they want to invest in real estate? Are they seasoned real estate investors? Or are you going to talk to people and convince them that it's not just about investing in stocks, it's about moving over? And those are two completely different strategies and approaches with how you're going to build your communications and how you're going to speak to people.
Right.
These are just some of those things that you want to talk to and just think about when you're talking to investors and then also other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you helped your company kind of craft and redefine, we'll call it the investor avatar along the way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we did the whole brand architecture when we were looking to do our branding for the company. We actually, my cousin went to Parsons and she had a friend that was doing this part-time. So she ended up working with us and, you know, we did everything where we had all of us virtually. So it was during COVID that we were just looking at rebranding and what do we need to do? And we had post-it notes all over the walls during our Zoom sessions. And it really helped us understand what we wanted to stand for as a company, like what our mission statement was. And that just really helped us, you know, grow from there. Now, we're going to also circle back and do another strategy planning session. And we try to do this actually after a close, because there's some things that you think, oh, you know what, this worked really well. Let's make sure that this process is there for the next one. Hey, this one didn't work out as well, or here were the kinks. Let's try to fix that for the next one. And that just helps you become better and better because you'll remember things in the moment and then you'll forget a month later. We all have short-term memories.
Right.
And so it's a really good exercise to constantly do because you'll just constantly be looking for ways to improve your company.
Yeah. And that's brilliant. And I even think about that in the last 24 hours, just in some of the tasks and things I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what, if I had taken the time, if I take the time at the end of the day and write down, gosh, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? How could I improve this the next time? This mm-hmm. process, because what I was working on the last 24 hours is not something I do every week or every 3 weeks. It's something that's very rare. But when it does, it takes a lot of time. It's like, okay, maybe there's a way. And by the time it rolls around again in 6 months, I'm going to forget. So
yeah,
refining those processes along the way is awesome. And that's kind of a good segue, you know, off of branding and more into operations. Because you also, you know, as we talked about earlier, you also help in the operations department in the company. What has that been like, joining the company, watching it grow and scale, and how outside of, you know, like you, what we could just talk about refining our processes, what are some other things that you guys are actively tackling that kind of help you always push the operational ball, if you will, forward and continue to improve?
Yeah. So one great thing is one of our partners came from the tech world. And given my background with management consulting, I did a lot of project management, a lot of operations. And then in brand management, a lot of it really is, you know, marketing was kind of a hub. And then you have all these spokes and you have to make sure that every department is doing their part so that you could see the product go to the finish line. So I have my tool sets and the way that I do things. And maybe about a month ago, you know, I just asked my partner, hey, you know, this is kind of how I've been tracking all of the action items for all of the assets that we're managing. So that's a lot, right? You're managing people at the assets and making sure things are happening. But when you have so many, it can get overwhelming. Right. And so I had to, what I'm doing works for me, but I just wanted to see, is there anything else out there that can make this a little bit better, a little bit easier? And so he had this great software, which I haven't implemented yet, but he kind of shared with me what he does, and he has these notes, but then it'll also automatically just send some of the emails that you have, but it keeps it just really well organized. And I'm still a little bit of a pen and paper person, and I like to cross things off.
Yeah.
But when I'm on the go, it's just easier if I can see everything on my cell phone. So that's something that I didn't really know about, but there's all these great tools and softwares. And so my advice is maybe what you're doing works, but it doesn't hurt to just ask somebody else to get their thoughts on, hey, how would you do this? And just that way you can think about, okay, maybe I could take two things of what they said and marry it with what I have, and I'll come up with a better process or tool. And I think what's nice about that is a lot of times you get stuck in a rut and you have blinders on and you just keep doing something the same way. And then you talk to somebody else and you realize, oh, okay, I could do this 10 times faster. Right. So for example, on our current project, what our partner has done is he's been able to, and I don't even know how he's done this, but he's able to code something where a lot of the data, as people are signing documents and moving things along, it just automatically updates on this dashboard, which is beautiful. So we just get to see everything in real time. And before, some of this had to be manual.
You're speaking more on the investor relations side?
Yeah, so we do have an investor relations software, but this was specifically for just managing some of our processes during this particular project. And he was just able to code it all where, as things were happening, it just would show up on the dashboard and we could just see everything real time.
Right, right. And you know, that's a conundrum or a quandary, if you will, that a lot of us run into, especially in the scaling phase, where you go, okay, I need to learn a new software, or I need to hire a coder, I need somebody that can help me solve this problem. But then the cost of learning that process or that software becomes greater, or it's so technically in depth that it just becomes a total black hole of trying to make it work for what you're doing. You go, gosh, man, just give me my legal pad and a pen and a phone, and I will get this done now. And so, you know, it's always that trick of finding out which one is the right way to go and when. So good for you for having a team member. It sounds like maybe that's an answer, is to bring a team member on that understands it.
I mean, I will tell you, kind of speaking with team members, it's always good to have somebody that's different than you. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, I want somebody that's like, that works like me and thinks like me, but that's not what you want on your team. You want partners that have different skill sets and different strengths than you. And that is what will make you have this complementary team. Now, there's got to be some synergies that work together, but you're just going to have a stronger team if you have somebody that thinks a little bit differently and can challenge you. And that's what you want. You want someone to say no to your ideas, and you want to be able to say the same thing, because then that's how you'll come up with an even better idea together.
What's a success story you have where you've brought someone on the team that thought differently than you, and what was the result of doing that?
Yeah. So one thing that we've done is we have actually streamlined a lot of our phone calls. You know, we all have so many meetings with so many different partners, with brokers, you know, your property management team, your lender, your investors, and it just eats up a lot of time. Right. So what we have done is we use Slack a lot and we post a lot of questions. And I remember one time we had decided to cancel our weekly call, and I thought, no, we can't cancel this. I have 10 questions to ask you guys. So I was like, you know, let me just try this. I put all of my questions in Slack and I got them answered in 5 minutes. And so what typically would have been maybe a 30-minute or hour phone call turned into a quick responses. And it's just because we didn't have time during that day. And what I've realized is, and I've seen this in my past world too, is my day would be booked with meetings. So then sometimes the real work happens at night.
Right.
Or sometimes people like to talk for the sake of talking, because we all love to hear ourselves talk. So I know at my old company, they actually cut your meeting times after an hour that the call would just drop. Mm. And the whole idea was that we really just need to be more efficient with our time, or right. we'll say, hey, now we're going to just, let's just follow up with another meeting. And for us, efficiency is really key. And just by trying this, I said, okay, let's just give this a shot and just use this a little bit more. I have gotten so many hours of my day back to be more efficient. Now, obviously, if we need a quick phone call, we can do that. But I've learned that you truly can be more efficient if you just be a little bit more direct and, you know, here's the problem. How do we think about it? What do we need to do? What are our next steps?
Right. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Let's jump into asset management. I mean, that's a position really in itself outside of operations and marketing. And it sounds like you're wearing a few different hats. So talk to us a little bit about your role inside of asset management and maybe some of the challenges you're facing in that front.
Yeah. So typically what I do is I meet with the property management company on a weekly basis. And, you know, I'm a note taker. I'm trying to be very organized. I usually take the notes and I, again, put the action items in the meeting and I always send them out. And then a day before the meeting, I resend last week's action items to make sure, hey, this is top of mind. Don't forget this. We're going to talk about it the next day to see, okay, what stuff have we accomplished, or, hey, what did we forget? And, you know, what I realize is everybody has a million things to do. So you say, yeah, I'll do these things on the call. And then you sometimes just forget.
Right.
So part of it is just staying on top of people and managing. So that's one aspect of it. Then the other aspect is just combing through the financials. So looking at your rent roll, just looking at your occupancy, looking at your financials, your CapEx, all of that basic stuff. And then, you know, sending out those questions like, hey, what happened here, or what are we doing here? If it's a renovation, just making sure that the projects are going in a timely manner. And if there's a challenge, okay, what's the challenge? What do we need to do to fix it? How do we get this back on track? So I would say a majority of it is project management because I think the key too is finding a really good project management company. You know, if you have a really good management company running, or sorry, property management company running the property, then it makes it a little bit easier because now you know that they know what they're doing, but you still have to watch them, but it just makes it a little bit easier. So for example, the company that we're using, they have a department for almost everything. Mm. They have a department for marketing. So I don't have to worry about marketing at the property. They send me the results. I can ask those questions. Hey, you know, are we getting the most like bang for our buck here? You know, are these ratios really good for us? They have a department for energy and just looking at like your energy, making sure that we're tracking on those types of metrics. So, and it also depends on the relationship you have with your property management company. But I think that's really key to be able to not just have those weekly calls, but you know, if something comes up, you can give them a call or you can give them a quick text and say, hey, let's chat about this, because you don't want to wait a whole week for something to go by.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's an oft overlooked role, is that you have to manage the manager. I mean, your property managers have to be managed as well. And that's and it takes a lot of, and do you manage all 2,500, or does your one property management company manage all 2,500?
No, they don't. The one that I mainly focus on are Florida assets. And then we do have other JV partners that help out. So that definitely eases the load. And so from a operations perspective, I've kind of handed that off to some of my partners right now. Because like you said, it's a lot of work. You can't do it all. But at the same time, we're all team players. So if someone can't get to something, since I've already done it before, you always want to have like your backup person say, oh yeah, I can fill in and I can do that for you since I've done that before.
Right, right. And it sounds like defining the process and then bringing on partners that can help you run those things, like you said, where you might be the backup, but now you're not the primary anymore on those. So that's absolutely fascinating. Pooja, I really enjoyed this conversation. Let's jump here into the final four. First question is this: what is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
I would say if you're looking to get into real estate, don't ever think that you're too late. I asked the same question to my brother when I first started, like, man, did I really miss the boat on this? And he's like, no, you're never too late. You just got to get into the game as quickly as possible. You're never going to be able to time the market, but what you can do is pick investments that are right during that time. And that makes sense.
Right. I like that. Yeah. You can't time the investments, pick investments that are right during the time. And we're certainly seeing that right now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's asset classes that make sense right now. And there's some that I'm looking at with a little bit of a wary eye going, not quite so sure about that.
Exactly.
That's fascinating. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you are doing to stay on top of your game?
So actually, one thing that I am doing, and I've never done this in my life, but I look back to my parents and I tell them, thank you. I should have listened to you a long time ago. They were always into meditation and I never really got it. But, you know, with COVID, it was just a very stressful time, I think, for everybody in different aspects of life.
Right.
And so my husband and I started to kind of look into that a little bit more, and we started to meditate and just looking more into inner peace. And I think when you can get to that place, and just, I'm reading a lot more about it, a lot of stuff just can come together for you. Mm. Or if there's a challenge or anything that you have, it just helps you be in a better place to tackle those things.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. It's like why all your good ideas come to you in the shower. It's because you're finally at a place where you're relaxed going, huh? And then all of a sudden, oh, good, I can solve this problem.
Exactly.
Good for you. Question number three is this. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
So one thing that I'm doing that I've been doing a lot this past year is just looking at different GoFundMes for different things that come up for people unexpectedly, and just being able to, you know, help them out wherever I can. On a bigger level, we didn't get to do this past year, but my husband's a surgeon and he's been doing a lot of mission trips on a yearly basis. And so I think my girls are at that age where now we can all go together as a family. And, you know, I'll probably be doing more of like the front office administration stuff, but that's something that, you know, we want to be able to do as a family going forward.
Right, right. And it's such a big need. And I think those are some of the fun or the most fun mission trips that take is when you can go, you know, Doctors Without Borders or whatever it is that's sponsoring it. And because it's a need. I mean, and you're right there, you're solving very tangible needs in a very real and very human way.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're excited to do that next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for you guys. That I know that is giving a lot of time, years of education and expertise. And also, it's really rewarding. So cool. I love that. That's great. Last question. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah. So they can go to our website and sign up there. It's www.jtcapitalgroup.com. Or you can also email me at puja@jtcapitalgroup.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.